Hello, and you are very welcome back to the Public Eye Business Podcast, brought to you by Granite Exchange. I'm your host, Sarah Travers, and throughout the series, I'm speaking with local entrepreneurs and business owners to learn more about how their companies have come to be, to gain insight into their growth, and find out how they continue to innovate. So wherever you get your podcasts from, remember to keep an eye out for all new episodes and subscribe to stay up to date. Well, apparently there's a book in everyone. So this podcast and this edition is one for all the budding authors out there. Today, I'm delighted to be joined in the podcast studio by June Russell Alexander, director and editor of Russell Alexander Publishing. June, you're very welcome to the podcast studio. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I can't wait for this one. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. But let me tell you a little bit of background, first of all, as we always do. Russell Alexander Publishing, formerly Temple Woman Publishing, was established to empower voices to support new authors in writing, editing, marketing, and self-publishing their books, and to support published authors in then preparing their books for publication. So there you will find a warm welcome, a nurturing community of like-minded people, and a home for your creative facility. It's a place of acceptance and understanding, of transparency and authenticity. I love this. A place to write, to create, and to be your true self. What a beautiful purpose you have, June.
It's important, I think, particularly for new authors. It's daunting starting to write a new book. But I think if they understand that if they're themselves and authentic to who they are, the process is so much easier instead of trying to be someone else.
So I suppose that's a good place to start. If we start with yourself, who are you?
Who am I? Right. I'm a little bit of an alternative person. I used to be called the alternative editor. I would describe myself as alternative. I'm alternative in my beliefs and my lifestyle. I don't adhere to any particular religion. I don't have a political view, and I don't even have a passport.
Oh, right. You don't have a passport, so you don't travel?
I don't intend to travel anymore. I'll stay on this island. I've travelled the world in my younger years.
And reasons?
For not travelling anymore. I've seen everything I want to see. Mm-hmm. So now I'll explore the island of Ireland. Lots of places I haven't seen here.
Brilliant.
So I'm very much into the universe and Mother Earth and nature. So that's more of what I'm interested in rather than anything else. And what else about me? I have 3 children and 7 grandchildren.
Oh.
So the absolute loves of my life.
And do they live close by?
Actually, we built in the hills of Dromara. Almost five years ago. So my house is attached to their house. So I have grandchildren running in and out all the time.
All 7 of them?
4 of the 7.
4 of the 7.
4 of the 7.
And what does it mean to be a grandmother?
I always say to people that when you have children, you feel they could never love anyone as much as you love your children. And then your first grandchild comes along.
That's lovely.
And it's just beyond any love you could have imagined. Oh. And more expensive.
Right, I see. So yes, you have to spoil them, but you can also hand them back too. Isn't that quite nice?
Have a stable door in between the two houses.
Okay. So you're very involved in your children, yes, and your grandchildren's life. It sounds idyllic.
It's lovely. I'm very privileged as a grandmother.
So before you became a grandmother, how did you get into this career?
Right, I've always believed that anyone who works with books, particularly editors, have to love books. You have to love the written word. If you don't, you can't do your job properly. And I was blessed with 2 parents who were avid readers, and they encouraged me from the beginning to read books. I've actually been told by family members that I was seen sitting in my pram with a little hard book.
What?
I was always handed books, and as I grew up, it was just more books, and always told never to throw books away. So I have run out of bookcases. Okay. I've never thrown a book away.
You've never thrown a book away?
Never thrown a book away.
I wonder if you could put a number on how many you've read.
No.
And how many you have?
No.
Is there room for any furniture, anything else in the house?
Yeah, I need more bookcases. Okay. Yes, there are books and boxes and all sorts of things. But my mother also was a stickler for grammar and punctuation. Mm. And so I suppose when she noticed anything, she mentioned it to me. And so I started looking for these things.
Are you the grammar police?
Almost.
Almost, okay.
Yes. And please give me someone who can use a semicolon properly.
Oh, you get very frustrated by...
Yes.
But there lies your strength and has led you to the brilliant job that you do.
Exactly. And I do recall I was seven. And I was reading the Belfast Telegraph, as you do when you're seven. And it was the for sale ads. And it's this one ad, and it will always stick with me. I wrote to the editor of the Belfast Telegraph and asked him who had edited the for sale ads. Because one of the ads read, and this is literally what it read, for sale, wooden cot for a baby with four strong wooden legs.
You wrote to the editor?
Yes.
How did you even know? How did you even know what editing meant?
Well, my father told me that someone would sit and check everything that went into the newspaper.
Well, not very
well,
obviously.
So I wrote to the person that he said would check everything, which was the editor.
And did you get a reply?
No, of course I didn't.
I think that's brilliant. I can't believe that. What a great story and what a great sort of elevator to where you are now. So what happened next after seven?
I just started, well, it was like I was proofreading everything, even though I wasn't a proofreader. And so as I worked, I was proofreading and editing corporate documents.
So what was your job then?
I was a trained bilingual secretary.
Fascinating. So where did you do your training for that?
Oh, the College of Business Studies in Belfast, the College of Knowledge.
Absolutely, where so many great individuals learned their trade.
Yes.
Okay. Do you enjoy that time of your life?
Yes, it was great. Mm. It was lovely. And so it was, you know, corporate strategies and governance handbooks and all that sort of thing.
Bilingual?
No, the proofreading, no.
No.
Proofreading, okay. Just in English.
But you have another language or?
Russian, French, a smattering of Spanish and some Serbo-Croat.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Oh, I am loving this podcast guest. Carry on.
And so that developed on then into Queen's University students and their dissertations and their theses and things like that. And then it just made a natural progression. I was asked once, could you edit a book? Could you proofread a book? And when I proofread the book, I also gave some comments.
Right.
Which meant they asked me if I would do the second edit. And then it just moved on from there.
Right, so you had that attention to detail.
Yes.
But you could also improve. So there were two skills, two strengths.
Yes, exactly.
And when did the penny drop that perhaps this could lead me into this career of helping writers?
I suppose when I did that second edit of the book. And then I was asked to do another book. And I worked for some publishers as a freelance. So if there was a freelance job out there doing any editing, I did it. And
when did you set up on your own?
I set up on my own as the alternative editor about 5 or 6 years ago. Alternative because of my alternative beliefs. And writers with alternative beliefs find it easier for me to edit their work because I was in sync with their thinking.
So you knew to market yourself to that niche audience.
Yes.
You knew that people would find you because of the word alternative.
Yes, exactly.
And what doors did that open? How many people did flock to you?
Quite a few doors. A lot of new authors, some of whom still come to me. I suppose it opened the door into more the processes from beginning to end with authors, particularly new authors. And that's when I started to think about what the publishing world was lacking in terms of help for new authors. It's all very much geared towards how many social media followers do you have? How much money can you put forward to get this book published?
Yeah.
And being a woman, I was very aware that lots of women are mothers and every spare penny goes towards your children and bills. And how were those women who had a story to tell going to ever publish a book?
I know, and how would they ever feel that they could justify it, even if they did spend the money? They would probably attach the guilt to that. I'm thinking of several people that have the book in them, but they haven't done that for those reasons. So then tell me about the services that you offer.
Right. I offer the traditional editing service. So existing authors will come to me with their manuscript and I will do a comprehensive edit and proofread, the complete editing service for them, and when they request, make their book, format it so that it's publication ready.
Right.
Then for new authors, which is what holds close to my heart, for new authors, I have the Amethyst package. And that allows new authors to come to me with an idea, a book proposal, so an outline, a partially written or a written manuscript. And I will work with them, even if it's just from the very first blank page, I will work with them, helping them to develop their own voice and the written word, taking them through three very gentle edits, because editing's a scary business for a new author, and helping them to develop their book and to go more into themselves, to give more of themselves into the book. I've had people come to me with a manuscript of maybe 100 pages, and they end up with 365 because of the work they do.
To develop that.
To develop the book and what they have to say, and they realise they have more to give.
So you said there that you want them to come with the manuscript, but sometimes it is just the blank page.
Oh, I don't mind if they come with an idea.
Right.
I've had people come to me with their journals, over 10 years worth of journals, charting an amazing period in their life, and they feel they have a story to tell, and that's what they use as the base for their manuscript.
Do you always say yes?
I have some strict rules.
Right.
Okay. I won't handle anything that deals with war, cruelty to anyone, misogyny, any sort of violence towards women, children, old people, the dark arts. I won't go near those. They need to go somewhere else if they come to me with that.
And do you get many people coming to you with that sort of thing?
Unfortunately, yeah. And amazingly, yes.
So many books at the minute are so dark. I'm struggling. I'm in a book club at the minute. And I don't mind a little bit of darkness, but sometimes you think, gosh, yes. This is not helping. I need escapism.
Yes. The fantasy books tend to be on the darker side. Mm. And I get that. Yeah. But it's not for me.
Okay. So they're your rules.
Yeah.
How much does this all cost?
For the Amethyst package, it costs £1,000, which sounds like a lot of money. However, because I'm very aware that people just don't have £1,000 sitting around, they have things they need to do with money. And so, therefore, I have a payment plan. They can pay between 3 and 12 months. There are no credit checks. And I just let karma do its job. And no one has let me down.
Is that right?
No one has let me down.
So that's very much based on trust.
It's based on trust.
Building that relationship, first of all, do you spend some time there? Because obviously time is money for you.
Yes. So generally we'll have one or two what I would call discovery calls. Mm. And we sit and we get to know each other. And I get to know where this new author is coming from. And what their aspirations are, why they're writing the book, what they want to get out of the book. And most, particularly those writing in the self-help genre, will often say, I just want to help one person. So they're writing for one person, which is lovely.
And that ticks a box for you.
Yes.
Usually when I have somebody sitting in front of me in the podcast studio and we're talking about setting up a business, it's all about scaling, it's all about growing that business. And yes, they can have a really good purpose, and yes, it can help so many people. But you know, you want to make money as well. You want to have a successful, viable business for yourself. Where does the making the money sit with you?
That's a very difficult one with me, which is why my son Matthew is going to be coming on board as business director. I like to get the business side out of the way because I like to get into the whole book, the writing, the editing, the creative side of the business. I decided that I would grow the company organically for the first year and a half. And that was mainly because I wanted to make sure that I was giving 100% to my new authors and tweaking as I went along. If there was something that wasn't quite sitting right with me, improving, so just constant improvement. And so we're now at almost a year and a half into this business. And now is the time to start thinking about moving forward With some more heavy marketing and things like that. So as I say, Matthew's coming on board and he's going to do a 1 year and 5 year plan for the business. And the most important thing to me is that it's paced properly, mm-hmm. that it doesn't affect current authors or future authors detrimentally.
So talk to me about what the average day looks like, and also talk to me, how many new authors or authors can you take on at one time?
The good thing is about new authors is that they're all at different stages of writing. Either they haven't begun or they're quite far on. And so I can space them out because they're all going to be ready at different times. Mm-hmm. So the number isn't an issue.
Yeah. And do you have set days that you do set things?
Just a Wednesday. And a Wednesday is for going out and seeing authors or having business meetings or meeting yourself.
Or doing podcasts at the Public Eye Podcast Studio, which is wonderful.
And every other day then is editing, which I don't like to be interrupted when I'm doing.
Right. And is it just you at this point?
Just me.
And do you have plans to grow?
Yes.
That's in the plans.
That's in the plans. That's the scary part of the plans.
Yeah.
I don't know how easy I will be with handing over editing to someone else.
I was going to ask you about that. How do you feel about that?
Petrified. Yes.
I'm just wondering, as part of your job, do you wake up in the middle of the night sort of seeing typos on published books? Does this keep you? Is that like your worst dream? I used to have dreams of sort of sitting in studios and couldn't work the desk and couldn't open the microphone and things. Yes. Couldn't get into the studio to broadcast.
Yes, it's more like the word deadline flashing across the screen. Yes.
Right, okay, so under pressure. Right, okay, let's go back to the new authors then. Talk me through the process when someone comes along. What do you do for them? And then I suppose if you could tell me a little bit about the success stories and what people have said it's been like for them.
Yes, so when a new author comes on board, I have a couple of meetings with them because I need to gauge not only where they're coming from, but their level of nervousness. And there it gives me then a pretty good base from which to work with that individual author. So it's not a one size fits all. I move at the pace of that new author. I don't set any deadlines. So we start with either them starting to write, and they'll maybe write a very small chapter, and it comes to me and we work through, and I sort of coach them on how it could improve and maybe would they like to go a little deeper here, a deeper there. And they start to develop. And by the time we go through edit one and edit two, they start having more confidence.
Confidence is key.
Yes. So coaching and encouragement and building that confidence. And a new writer almost develops. It's almost like the caterpillar and butterfly. You can start seeing the butterfly starting to emerge.
And as you say, it's probably a little bit of a struggle for some people at times, just finding who that new writer is.
Yes.
Or the authentic writer.
The authentic writer. And often a new author will say, I mean, why do I think I can write a book? Why do I think I have something to say?
Who wants to read what I have to
say? Exactly. And it's getting them past that and getting them to see that they have authority over this subject matter, whatever it may be. If it's their life, who else is going to have authority to speak about it? Except mm-hmm. themselves.
And it's those storytelling skills and abilities and, you know, just having you there to tease those out. Or what did that look like? Or is it describing things that maybe people think, oh, surely they know about that already? Is it sort of just putting some flesh on the bones?
Well, the golden rule is never leave the reader with an unanswered question. Mm. So lots of descriptive work can be done. But at the end of that paragraph or that chapter, if I have a question, then the reader is going to have a question. So there's another piece of work, answering the questions. And this is how their book develops.
And what happens then? What happens during that development? How do you get to the end stage? And how long does that take?
How long's a piece of string?
Really? Is that what it is? Okay. As running a business then, that's difficult, I would have thought.
No.
You like to know this will be over in 6 months. No?
No. The most important thing is that when that book is published, that the author is beyond words delighted with it. And for me,
that's the litmus test for you.
Yes. And for me, that I am certain that it is the best version of itself it can possibly be.
Wow.
So that is it. So when I'm satisfied that it's the best version in my terms as an editor, and the new author is satisfied that they have given everything to it and they are absolutely delighted with it.
And how does that make you feel? Why do you love that?
I think it's almost like an honour. It's an honour to work with these new authors and to watch that transformation. I actually had one new author, when they were published, went and got a new passport so that they could put author on it. It's that I never believed, they come to me not believing that they can write a book.
And then after months,
they're a published author.
Wow.
And it's watching that transformation and the change in their own level of confidence in themselves.
Do some need more hand holding than others?
Yes.
Right. For lots of different reasons.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And of course, some of the stories can be very emotional. Mm. And they're revisiting things that they really didn't want to revisit.
Oh, okay.
But they realise when they go deeper into themselves, in some cases, that it's going to be good. It's going to be cathartic for them and it's going to be good for their book.
And do you find that that's what people do, draw on personal experiences? And do they feel that there's a lesson in those experiences for the reader?
That's why most of the self-help new authors come to write a book.
To help one person.
To help one person, yes.
So talk me through, once we've got the wonderful book, you also help them format it, get it ready for publication, all of that, the aesthetics.
Yes. So once their manuscript is complete, once we've done all the editing, then I take it. They decide how they want their book to look, the size of the book, everything else, and I format it so that it is literally ready for publication. And in between times, I introduce them. I can do initial marketing with them, you know, for social media and things like that. But I like to keep things in Northern Ireland. So I have two book cover designers in Northern Ireland. So I have Chiho Tang of Oranga Creative, and I've Donna Laverty of Just Peachy Design. And then I have marketing consultants, Rain Digital in Banbridge.
So you keep everything local, which is
nice. Keep everything local. And so I recommend them to my new authors. They can choose to use them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Most so far have chosen to use them. Mm-hmm. And so they get that extra support then when they come to the marketing of their book, because in each case, either the designer or the marketing consultants make contact with them early. As soon as they've said yes, they want to work with them, they start working with them early and ease them into the book design world and the marketing world.
Now, how big a part of the process is getting that cover just right?
I think it's essential, because it's the first thing that a reader is going to see, whether it's going to sit in a bookshop or it's going to be on Amazon or Barnes Noble or wherever. So it's essential.
And the title?
The title, quite often we have to change titles,
mm-hmm.
Because if we do a simple Google search, you can find that maybe there's a title or 10 titles exactly the same. So you want to remove the competition get a unique title if you can.
Now, in 2020, we saw lots of new people discovering or rediscovering reading, even audiobooks. Was the same happening for writing? Are you seeing a surge of new writers?
I think post-COVID, yes. That 2 years or whatever it was that we were all isolating at home, I think a lot of people have been going through periods of introspection and perhaps looking and thinking, is there more to life and what else can I do? And also quite a lot of people enjoyed being at home, obviously not because they had to isolate, but enjoyed actually being at home and working from home. So yes, a lot of women have come forward as new writers, and a lot of self-help books have come forward. There are a lot of self-help, and also, which pleases me greatly, a lot of new romantic and humorous novels.
the escapism I'm looking for. Let me read those, please.
Yes.
And I know that we both met actually at the book launch of someone who you'd been through this process with,
yes.
The wonderful Claire Gallagher. She's currently working at Queen's University, but I knew her from Women in Business days. And she released her debut, because you think there's another book in her, but her debut book, Birds of a Feather, about her experiences in America when she studied for a year when she was 19. And she, you know, she's not 19 anymore, but that was such a key part of her life, and it formed the basis of a super story. To see Claire's joy and see her family's joy and see her achieving that, and to see how many people loved reading that book.
Oh, yes.
How does that feel for you?
Absolutely wonderful. I mean, I'm like a mother hen. I cluck. You know, I was very proud of her. I was very proud. And I think one of the loveliest things was seeing how absolutely proud her daddy was.
Oh, yes.
He was beside himself with joy and pride. And as you and I know, we now both know where Claire gets her talkative nature from.
Yes, well, if anybody knows Claire, yes. And his name's Noel Gallagher, which is quite interesting.
Yes,
that was Birds of a Feather Flock Together. Give it a read. It's a super escapism. No, yes. No dark arts at
no
work
dark
there.
Arts
just lots
there.
Of hijinks when you're 19. So what project then are you most proud of?
Whichever project I'm working on at the time.
You have to say that, really, don't you?
No, when books are published, they're published. And terribly proud of the author, of the amount of work they've put in, their growth, their confidence, and everything else. And then you're on to the next project. And so you're working and totally engrossed with this new author and their project. And you're watching their growth, their confidence building, their writing ability improving. And so that's the one that you're most proud of at the time.
So for most people that come through this process, as we said at the start, you know, there's supposed to be a book in everyone.
Yes.
You know, it is doing that follow-up to the first novel. That's often the struggle. But do people get the bug then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. About halfway through.
Okay.
Halfway through the process.
They want to do another.
They start writing notes for the next book.
Oh, right. It's a fascinating journey. And what's so lovely is just that sense, again, that you're not in it for business reasons. You're in it for the author and just to be on that journey with them, which is really incredible. You recently rebranded. Why did you do that? And can you tell us what that was like as a process?
Yeah, well, it came as a shock. But my previous partner, Lindsay, wanted to concentrate on her writing and progress it. And so therefore was very upfront with me and said she couldn't devote time to the business. So I bought her out. It was all very amicable. Mm-hmm. We're still in touch, still chat. So I bought her out. And then I wanted to rebrand because my mum and dad had been the source of my love of books. And so I wanted, if even in name only, to have them involved. My maiden name was Russell.
Ah.
So hence Russell Alexander Publishing.
Lovely. And yeah, I'm sure they'd be so proud of you. What does the future of Russell Alexander Publishing look like?
Matthew Alexander telling his mother off.
Yeah.
The future is growth, but I want it to be a sensible growth. I want to make sure that it's paced so that the service that I offer remains 100% for all my clients. So I don't want it to suffer because of growth. So as I say, we're going to put forward a 1, 3 and 5 year plan. And I'll sit down with Rain Digital and we'll talk about marketing over that period of time. And I know that probably in 2 or 3 years, I'll bring another editor on board.
You will.
Yes.
I know you will too, June. Do you have a favourite book? I have to ask you that question.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And it is, drum roll.
And it is by Henry David Thoreau. And it is an absolutely marvellous book. It's called Walden. And it speaks to me because it's about leading a simple life, living in harmony with nature, living life without the trappings of materialism. Taking each person as they are, not what you want them to be, not judging them on any of their views, but how they are as the core of the person. And that speaks to me.
That's beautiful, actually. Yeah, I must read that. I will check that out. If there's anybody listening to this and they think, yeah, I'd love to start writing, I don't know quite if I'm ready to have a conversation with June yet, where is the best place to start, would you say?
Give me a call. Advice is always free.
Oh.
You know, so if anyone is, the best place to start for a writer is if they have a journal and they know they've got some gems in that journal, start reading the journal or journals and see if that's what they're thinking of writing about, because that is invaluable source material. If they don't have a journal, but they have an absolute love, a joy in their life, and that's what they want to write about, sit down with the dreaded blank page and remember it's only a blank page until you write the first word. And remember that Gloria Steinem didn't always write like Gloria Steinem. Henry David Thoreau did not always write like Henry David Thoreau. Just write. If you think it, write it. And after about 12 or so pages, read it. Don't criticise your punctuation or your spelling. That's what editors
That's
are
your
for.
Job.
Just read it. And if it's going in a direction that you like, write some more. And keep a little book. If something comes into your head, write it down.
And how long should you spend at writing?
I don't think there is a time period that you should spend. I always ask my authors only to write when they want to write. Don't force it. If you force, then the writing is affected.
And then the writer's block kicks in.
And the writer's block kicks in. Also, if you drink too much coffee. But to be kind to yourself and to write whenever you want to write, for as long as you want to write. And then when you don't want to write, stop.
Hmm. Yeah, I often look at the authors for whom it's their business now and they have to keep churning out the material.
Yes.
Do you think that's healthy? Would you love to be working like that, or do you think it's a lot of pressure?
No, that's like living in the rat race.
Hmm.
Books are supposed to give joy. They're supposed to inspire. And give pleasure to read. And I think words reflect the emotion and the mood of the writer at the time of writing. So if someone is writing because they really want to, I think it translates onto the page.
And do you believe there's a book in everyone?
Yes. When are you writing yours?
I don't know what I'd write, but I am taking notes. And yes, I have been asking these questions because I have wondered about the process. I do know people who've been through the process. I know how vulnerable you can feel during the process.
Yes.
How exposed you can feel during the process. And then once you've got it out there, are they going to buy it?
Yes.
Are they going to review it? Are they going to critique it? Oh, those reviews. I mean, ugh.
Well, I have a band of wonderful book reviewers, and they're the first reviews that all of my authors will get.
What, because they're friendly?
No, because they understand that these are the books of brand new authors. So okay. They're not reviewing someone who has written three or four novels. They're reviewing a brand new author who has something to say.
Nice.
And that is how they review the book. They're not paid, so it's very transparent. And if there's a part of the book that they don't particularly like, they will say so.
Mm-hmm.
But
is that tough? Is that tough for the authors, the criticism?
I think how it is portrayed to them and relayed to them can be tough.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we're always hardwired to look for the negatives. So we might have had one bad review and 99 super ones, and we'll just focus on the negative.
Yes. Right. But generally, reviews will come from people who've enjoyed a book. If I can go back to Claire Gallagher,
mm-hmm.
some of her reviews were absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And yet they were coming in from all parts. She's well known by lots of people.
Yes.
She operates in lots of networks. But these were people that she didn't know.
Yes.
So that means so much.
That's right.
So
that's
I'm
right.
Waiting for Claire's next book. What do you like to do when you're not reading or in the office? Do you have any time?
Yes. So I set my working time. Otherwise, it can go on forever. I think we all discovered that during COVID.
Yeah.
We had to be strict with ourselves.
Yeah.
And know when to switch the laptop off. So I'm a vegetarian, so I'm in the process of building up my greenhouse and my my vegetable garden, vegetable and herb garden, because I would like to grow most of what I eat, and I would like to eat according to what's ready to be eaten rather than planning in any other way. So I do that, spend time with my grandchildren, of course, and the family dogs. I have a pup in training at the moment.
Oh, so any particular breed?
She's a cockapoo. Oh, and she's a rocket.
Is she? It sounds honestly idyllic, like you're living the good life.
I'm very fortunate where I am. I'm surrounded by farmland and very good farming neighbours. And when I stand in my front garden or my back garden, I am literally looking at sheep, cows and alpacas.
And alpacas. Do you and own the alpacas?
No, I don't. This is all belonging to my farming neighbours.
Isn't that wonderful?
And it's just lovely.
Now, June, I could talk to you all day about the good life, about writing the books, and it's been so interesting to get some tips and advice from you. You've been, you know, so generous in your tips and techniques for starting out, and definitely just having a conversation now that we know that that's free will definitely whet a lot of appetites out there. But the final question that I ask of every podcast guest who comes into the studio is about the purpose really of this podcast, which is to inspire existing business owners and ambitious entrepreneurs to grow their business by offering an insight into the success of businesses such as your brilliant Russell Alexander Publishing. So therefore, it is a final business question. What advice would you give to people who may have a business idea but have no idea where to begin or are unsure as to whether the risk is worth taking?
Okay, I will give the first piece of advice, paraphrasing the great Harold Russell, my father. Firstly, I would say, if you're procrastinating and going back and forth as to whether or not you want or should start a business, think of yourself in your old age sitting in your rocking chair and asking yourself, what if? Now ask yourself, are you going to regret not starting that business? And if the answer is yes, there's your answer.
So you certainly have no regrets. Were destined to do this,
I think. I've no regrets. And the second piece of advice I would give would be find balance. So many people don't find a balance in their lives. And you have to find a balance between your personal life and your business life. So you start at a pace that is comfortable for you. Don't bite off more than you can chew. So comfortable financially, personally, and most importantly, mentally. Because if your finances, your personal family life, or your mental health are starting to suffer, you're going to have to stop and reassess and reevaluate and maybe pull back a bit on the business. So it's better not to get to that position and just pace it comfortably for yourself and everyone around you and every part of your life.
Well, you seem to have it all worked out. The fact that you're running this business parallel to your idyllic life, it's part of your life, and you seem to have got the balance just right.
I hope I have.
Yeah. Well, good luck with the 5-year plan. Good luck with bringing Matthew in and come back and tell us what happened next.
I'd love to. I'd love to.
June, it has been a joy to have you in the Public Eye podcast studio today. So if you have a book in mind, how can people get in touch?
If you go on to my website, it's www.russellalexanderpublishing.com, or I'm happy for people to phone the mobile number, which is 07517 870184. I have no problem speaking with anyone who's thinking of writing a book and giving them advice.
Thank you so much to June Russell Alexander from Russell Alexander Publishing. A great guest, a great business idea, and who knows, it could be you. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and see you next time for another fantastic episode of the Public Eye podcast. This podcast was recorded in Granite Podcast Studio. Interested in starting up your own podcast but don't know how? Granite Podcast Studio can help. Record your podcast in our state-of-the-art studio, which is based in the heart of Newry City. Our studio has cutting-edge and user-friendly technology and can seat up to 4 people. We also provide an editing service for our team, using your guidance and editing notes to provide you with a flawless finished product, leaving your listeners wanting more. For more information on how you can get started, visit www.granitepodcaststudio.com.